Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. I trust you're doing well today. It's a beautiful day out there, so when you're done listening to me, try to get out there and enjoy that sunshine. I want to talk to you today about CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations. Well, they scored another victory, ladies and gentlemen, this week, this time involving the New York City Police Department. Now, I'm just going to take you back a little bit in time. The New York City Police Department, they had a widespread spying program. It was directed at Muslims, and it undermined, apparently, free worship. Well, that's not apparent. That's a fact. But apparently, I suppose I should say, it undermined free worship by innocent people, and it was decided that it should be declared unconstitutional. And religious leaders and civil rights advocates got together and they filed a federal lawsuit. Now, one of the complainants in the lawsuit, Hamid Hassan Raza, stated that our mosque should be an open religious and spiritual sanctuary, but NYPD spying had turned it into a place of suspicion and censorship. So they had their rallies, and they filed their suits, and it carried on. Now, of course, the city fought back, and they said, look, the legal department said, what we're doing is legal, it's appropriate, we are engaging in intelligence gathering, and we are using legal tactics that helps keep the city safe from terrorism. But the suit, all the same, asked a judge to order the nation's largest police department, guys, to stop the surveillance and also to destroy any related records they might have garnered. Now, this is the third significant legal action filed against the NYPD, Muslim surveillance programs, since details of the spy program were revealed in a series of Associated Press reports starting in 2011. Now, the lawsuit, it alleged that Muslim religious leaders in New York had modified their sermons after behavior and other behavior so as to not draw additional police attention. The suit was filed against Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly, and the Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence, David Cohen. That's right. Through the Muslim surveillance program, the NYPD had imposed an unwarranted badge of suspicion and stigma on law-abiding Muslim New Yorkers, including the plaintiffs in this action. And this is according to the complaint. Now, that, like I say, the suit was filed on behalf of religious and community leaders, mosques, and charitable organizations. The plaintiffs were, as you would guess, were represented by the American Civil Liberties Union and the Creating Enforcement Accountability and Responsibility Project at CUNY, School of Law and New York Civil Liberties Union. Like I say, though, Bloomberg and Kelly, they defended the department's actions as necessary to identify and thwart terrorist plots. Though senior NYPD officials testified that the unit at the heart of the program never generated any leads or triggered a terrorism investigation. Apparently, the strategic approach of the New York City Police Departments, their approach to combating terrorism, for goodness sake, it's illegal. Spit it out, Kel. What they did was totally legal. They did nothing wrong. They were engaging in surveillance. This is what we expect our law enforcement to do, don't we? We expect the authorities to protect us. We expect our authorities to target in on particular subgroups that might wish us harm, don't we? So for the surveillance to go on, I have no problem with it. Like, I know a lot of people are getting a little wiggy about what's been going on in the United States of late in terms of the IRS and Verizon, the spying, the telephones, everything. I know people are a little sensitive about that right now, and I can understand that. I can relate to that. However, what I do not understand is why we would sit back and be complacent. While the very people we expect to take care of us are being sued because they are simply doing their job. The approach, as far as I'm concerned, by the NYPD, it was legal, it was appropriate. It was designed to keep the city safe. Now, the thing is that CARE is getting away with a lot. CARE, an unindicted co-conspirator in one of the biggest investigations into Islamic money laundering, the Holy Land Foundation. Yet they still thrive, and they're still running the show. Personally, I've had it. I don't know what to do about this anymore. I'm really getting fed up with this. Every time we turn around, every single time there's a threat out there and we know it's Islamic inspired and we try to do something about it, we're shut up again. Surveillance is a way of life. It has been a way of life long before this, long before the Patriot Act, even. These imams and these clerics and people like Arazza running around with their dresses all up in a bunch because maybe somebody from the NYPD just might want to come in and sit in on a sermon. It might have gone further than that. Maybe they wanted to put wiretaps in the mosques to see and hear exactly what these imams were preaching. So be it. I'm fine with that too. They're Muslims. They're Islamists within these mosques. We know what these mosques do. We know that they are breeding grounds for jihad. Everybody knows that. The imams in the mosques, they know that we know that. But they don't care because they have care. This lawsuit, it accused the city of violating the First and 14th Amendments. Like I say, it was the latest legal challenge to the activities of the New York Police Department Intelligence Division. About a year ago, a California-based civil rights organization, Muslim Advocate, sued the NYPD over its counterterrorism programs. This year, civil rights lawyers, they urged a judge to stop the NYPD from routinely observing Muslims in restaurants, bookstores, and mosques. They said that the practice of this, it violates a landmark 1985 court settlement that restricted that kind of surveillance used against war protesters in the 1960s and 70s. Well, I'm sorry. Times, they have a changed. We're not dealing with war protesters today. We're dealing with violent jihadists. If there is even 1 ounce of suspicion pertaining to one Muslim, which would warrant surveillance, then so be it. It's not the 60s and 70s anymore, Raza. You introduced us to a whole new world. You have made it very clear that the world is a dangerous place. So I have a question for you. Who's running the show? Who are you going to let run this show? I don't even have to ask my listeners this. I don't even have to ask people who read my blog this, because they know. But what about the rest of them out there? What about the sleeping public? What about the dimmy politicians that we elect? Surely they must have an idea of what Islam is. Surely they must be familiar with what is in the Quran. How can they allow such things to be carried out? You know why? Because they have no choice. And you know why? Because CARE is doing it legally. It is all legal, ladies and gentlemen. They are using our very own laws against us. That's why. That's why you are going to see this crap popping up all the time. CARE released their statement. I believe it was late Tuesday, very early Wednesday. Yeah, it was on Tuesday. CARE New York welcomes legal challenges to NYPD's unconstitutional spying. So there you go. You know this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, right? And you know this is going to cost you, the taxpayer, millions and millions and millions, because a group of Muslims are running around, didn't like the surveillance at their mosques. Some individuals didn't like being tagged because maybe they were, I don't know, taking a lot of family trips to the Middle East. I don't know. Either way, they didn't like it one bit. So they're getting off the hook. You can bet on it. You can bet on it. But you know what? Not the rest of us. Nope. We will continue to be surveilled. And you know what? That includes our churches and our synagogues. But you know what's off limits, don't you? Yeah, you know what's going to be off limits. You guessed it.
Searching for terrorists everywhere, but not in mosques. That's what we'll talk about today. It came out a few days ago that in October of 2011, the FBI adopted new guidelines that said that its agents can conduct surveillance anywhere, but not in mosques. They can go into churches and synagogues or any place that's sectarian, but may not plant eavesdropping devices or infiltrate mosques. This came about when the CAIR, the Center for Arab American Relations or some such, brought a lawsuit in conjunction with the FBI, alleging that the FBI was harassing Muslims. And the Obama administration settled the lawsuit with a consent decree that it would not conduct any surveillance operations within mosques unless they were approved by a specially constituted special insensitive investigation review board. And obviously there'll be very little surveillance if you have to actually go to a board and lay out your reasons and all of that. It's important for us to realize that mosques are not always only the institution of religious worship that a synagogue or a church might be. While there is that component, and one out of five have only that component, according to a study by the Center on Security Policy headed by Frank Gaffney, four out of five study Sharia law and really focus on what it says and on the injunction, the call to jihad that Sharia law imposes on all Muslims, and serve really as recruitment and training centers for terrorists. So the FBI no longer can plant listening devices or even send informants into the congregation to listen to what's going on. This had a particularly negative effect, we believe, in Boston, where one of the guys who perpetrated the Boston bombing had an outburst a week or two earlier in his mosque, where the imam was preaching love and reconciliation, as so many of the wonderful Muslim imams do. And he stood up in the congregation and yelled that, no, that wasn't the way. We needed violent jihad, and we needed to confront the infidel. Had the FBI been listening, it would have tagged the guy and followed him and surveilled him and checked his phone calls and his emails and might well have been able to intercept him before the bomb went off at the Boston Marathon. So it's a ridiculous policy, and it really gets in the way of our going after terrorists. By the way, if you're interested in talking more about this topic, you could tune into my radio show today from 2 to 6. It's on WPHT, 1210 AM in Philadelphia, but it'll be available on dickmorris.com anytime you want. Just tune in. And by the way, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and that was Dick Morris, and he was pretty much right on the money. Sometimes he's not quite there, in my opinion, on certain things. But on this one, yeah, he's there. He's got it. I put the link in the chat room if you want to take a look. I've got the link for the CARE press release from yesterday, or Tuesday, rather. And for those of you who are not in the chat room, if you want to find it, you can find it on my blog. That's redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. You'll have to scroll down a bit, but it's there. I posted it yesterday, so you won't have to scroll down too far for that. But, yeah, Dick Morris, yep, he brings up a really good point about that one example, that one little jihadist that kind of went off the reservation there and said, no, we need violence. We need it now. We need it yesterday. Yeah. Jihad. Well, yeah, this is the sort of thing that the New York Police Department was surveilling. But CARE, they didn't care. CARE don't care. No, they don't care at all. All they care about is CARE. It's all about CARE. We care about CARE. We don't care about you. It really disgusts me, people. This is the sort of thing, the very thing, that is a threat to the United States, to the West. Is this sort of activity may go on unfettered? This may create radicals, you think? This is why we need the surveillance of these mosques and of these individuals. This is why this lawsuit is very, very important for you to understand, because as we know, losses like this set precedent. And when they set precedent, that is one more chink in the armor for the good guy, which is us in the West. This is going to be very interesting to see how this ultimately develops in the end, because I have a funny feeling, I have a sinking feeling that this is going to be the ultimate victory in this particular case, because that's just the way we are in the West. We engage in appeasement. We're good at that. You know, I don't understand our government. I don't understand why they are so afraid of Islam. Why? Because they threatened to bomb us, of course. That's a great fear and a valid fear. But they're killing us already. How much more can they do to us? How much more can these Muslims possibly unleash on us? They are taking advantage of us, of our laws. We are laying down the red carpet for their caliphate. We are playing exactly into the hands as laid out by the Muslim Brotherhood, which was started in 1928 in Egypt. We are playing like puppets right along with the grand scheme of things, and I'm not being dramatic. It is a grand scheme. We know that. The Muslim Brotherhood are the puppeteers. We're the ones dancing on a string. They know it. They are jihadists in the business suits. That's right. Gentlemen jihadists. That's what I call them. Gentlemen jihadists. We've got Barack Hussein Obama in the White House arming the Syrians with the rebels. We've got the Muslim Brotherhood in power in Egypt. Lebanon is gone. Egypt is gone. Iraq is gone. Afghanistan was gone for a long time. But Afghanistan is gone. Syria is gone. I did a show on Syria a few weeks back discussing that. At the time, I espoused my opinion in that Syria may fall under the Muslim Brotherhood. I know that it will now. Now that the rebels have been tacitly endorsed by the United States government, Obama considering arming them. Meanwhile, yesterday a Coptic Christian was beheaded and fed to the dogs because he made a comment. It wasn't even him, it was his brother. He made a comment about the rebels misbehaving badly. That's who Obama wants to arm. But when it comes back to these mosques, and this is another thing, just to wrap this up, I'm sure you've all heard about Louis Gohmert went after Robert Mueller the other day, this week, during the House Judiciary Committee hearing. Louis Gohmert, Republican from Texas, and FBI Director Robert Mueller battled over the efficiency of the FBI's investigation into the Boston bombers' background prior to the April 15th terrorist attack. And the bombshell was, this is unreal. When Gohmert asked Mueller, did you know that that mosque was founded by a radical, by a terrorist? And the FBI director said,
no, no, we did not know that.
Yeah, God. This Boston mosque where these two brothers were radicalized was founded by a convicted terrorist. He's currently in jail. His name is Abdurrahman Al-Modi, and I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. His first name in particular is a tongue twister, but Al-Modi is languishing in prison right now. He was a co-founder of this mosque. And Gohmert said, you would think that would be something you would know. What did Robert Mueller say? Well, we did visit the mosque prior to April 15th, and they seemed all right. It was, decent guys. Are you kidding me? Really? That's your rebuttal? Well, I'm telling you guys, wake up. And especially in light of the fact that Russia told you these two characters were radicalized at this particular mosque. You look into it. You don't go there, shake a few hands, and walk out again and say, oh, they didn't seem too bad. No. You do your job and you investigate. And this is what we're not allowing our officials who do want to investigate to do. We have dinnies like Robert Mueller, and we have bullies like Kerr stomping all over the rest of us. You guys, go out there and think about it. Seriously. Think about what the ramifications of Islam truly means. Look what they are doing with our laws. Look what they're getting away with. Look at the concessions they're getting. My God, Kerr, an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation, and they're flourishing. Well, I'm out of time. But I'm going to tell you guys something. You know what? Wake up and spread the word. Not you guys listening. You who listen, you're wide awake. You're more than aware of what's going on around you. But make those around you who are not aware, you got to get the word out. For God's sake, it's your country. Take it back. On that note, I'll say goodnight. I want to thank you all for joining me today. I want to thank you guys in the chat room, Poppy, Kath, and Smokey, you guys in other listening devices, you guys in archive. And if you want to check out my blog, please do. redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. I will see you back here on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye.